positive mind.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Positive Mind. I'm Kev O'Donoghue with Ben Starr and Dr. Kent Robertshaw with Nassima Diane Deamer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody. We're bringing you some ideas, concepts, guests, some tools and strategies to try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And we are talking about work and the workplace and the work world. And we talked about it yesterday and we want your input today. We want to talk about something called PERMA, P-E-R-M-A, and how we can help people who are in jobs that they're just not liking, how to live a more positively minded workplace. So we're counting on your calls, 212-757-5555. We want calls from people who have worked a number of jobs, a number of careers, if you want. And they're saying, you know, it used to be, Kent, that a man had a career for a lifetime not too long ago. And now they're saying the average person has seven careers, not just seven jobs, but seven careers.
That's incredible, right? Because it seems like people are then getting off some track of where they're feeling accomplishment or where they're feeling sort of a groove of emotional flow and
right.
what they feel like they're good at and what they enjoy and switching to other things at other points in their life.
Yeah, and it seems like people are ready to leave their work or, you know, it's always in the conversation, whereas in the old days, think of your parents, you know, they would never have thought about taking another career.
Or
leaving.
Even getting fired would have been unheard of unless you did something really beyond the pale. Today, people seem to get let go all the time. And it's, you know, it's not a surprise. People move on to something else.
Yeah, people leave.
Right.
People just leave. You know, it's like, I'm tired of this. I'm just going to go. And they often, the younger generation, I mean, they're really notorious of just walking out and not showing up.
Not that long ago, that was completely unheard of.
No 2-week notice.
Right.
Right.
You know,
whatever happened to the 2-week notice?
Well, it's in most contracts, but nobody pays attention to it.
Well, a lot of contracts now have something called at will employment, which means it's at the will of both the employer and the employee. And it says in the contract, this relationship can be terminated at any time for any reason by either party.
Wow.
Right.
So it sounds, you know, it makes sense that people are always ready to up and leave their job. You have to be mentally ready. I mean, it can be a crushing blow. It used to be a crushing blow to a family.
Absolutely.
For a father or mother to lose a job. Now, people are, you know, aware. Well, first, what are my options? What are other things that I could be doing? They're going to work every day thinking this, and they have to in a way. You know, it's kind of liberating to think, okay, I'm not just going to be stuck in this one career. All my friends leave careers. I can leave mine also. So there's a kind of freedom in that. You know?
There's also a kind of instability, I think, Kevin. It's not where we used to be, where a career was long-term, solid, dependable, something that people would kind of project onto their lives and their families a year, 5, 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just about everybody I know who's in some kind of position is semi-regularly going on job interviews or at least looking at job listings elsewhere in their field.
Yeah.
And I think, again, changing careers, you know, it's hard to think about anybody being a jack of all trades and a master of none. Meaning, if we're talking about yesterday with Erickson's stage of competency and achievement and mastery, it seems to me that Dr. Arbuchal, I hate psychiatry now and I want to be a poet, right? I, you know, 20 years yeah. of neuronal developments about the nuance, the blink, if anyone knows that book,
yeah,
about
sure.
the, mm-hmm. About this field, and I'm starting something new, I'm I don't know how much one is transferring all that knowledge and wisdom and a sort of unconscious familiarity with the subject matter mm-hmm. and switching to a new one so easily, right? Because I think once upon a time when you'd see somebody in their 40s and 50s, yeah, they weren't so young and cute as, you know, the 20, 30-year-olds, but they'd have the gray hairs. They mm-hmm. had some wisdom of doing something over and over and over again, which there may be no shortcuts in terms of mastery of just doing things over and over again.
And is that a real concern, though, for people now, for mastery? I mean, most people want to just get a paycheck. You know, they'll switch careers, but just don't ask me to be at the top of it. Right. You know, as a psychiatrist, you've struggled to master this field so that you can be uber competent. But, I mean, if you were a truck driver and moving on to being a machinist or something, you might not be so concerned about being, like, really, really competent. You just want to get your money.
Right, if that's your goal. And, again, I would think that work, which Ben is talking about and everyone's talking about today, has a little bit of a feel of the other thing that Freud said life was all about, work and love. And, you know, one can get a divorce after 2 years. One can get upset at a job place and peace out, you know, right then and there. And I would think there's something to be said for the wisdom of people that it's rough. Work can be rough. You know, yeah. This is the positive mind. We're going to talk about positivity. But let me tell you, there's some dynamics at work with your boss and coworkers and even internally that maybe people used to work through, just like they'd work through couples, you know, difficulties. It's
right.
It's hard work to stay at a job and stay loyal.
Yes,
and,
it is. Yeah.
It is. And I wonder, too, if businesses are starting to respond to this transient workforce with trying to make it a better workplace. Because it's tough on an employer to lose employees, yeah. to be hemorrhage employees.
Sure.
It takes a lot of resources away from them. So the more that businesses like, you know, it's like Google and all the ones that you hear about are
yep.
really
yeah.
cultivating a culture that's going to make people want to stay, not because the company's taking care of them, but mm-hmm. because the company's responding to them.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, you know, businesses management is trying to create a home environment for its employees where the employees actually get to have some input into the company.
Yeah.
They're actually seeking feedback. In the old days, there was the boss who was like the daddy figure.
Yeah.
Who laid down the law, and if you didn't follow the law, you were fired, kicked out of the family.
Right.
Now, businesses are trying desperately to hang on to their employees, and they're realizing the only way to do this is to get our employees involved.
Yeah.
Get them engaged in the decision-making process, a sense of meaning and success. You know, they want to yeah. check off these boxes. They're no longer counting on their employees to show up and do an 8-hour day. They need to, and they are doing, getting employees feedback and input into the direction of how can we make this store, this business, this company work better?
Mm-hmm.
And who better to ask than your employees? So
right.
we want to hear people's work experience. We want to hear from people who have worked, let's say, four or more jobs and tell us, you know, which was your best and which was your worst. We're not going to get a chance to talk in depth with you. We're really doing a survey. We really want to find what was your best job and what was your worst job. 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. Yesterday, Ben, you were saying shoveling snow.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite jobs. I mean, not as an occupation or a career, but when it's something that I have to do as far as work, it's something measurable. It's something tangible. It's
yeah.
not like pushing papers at a desk. It's a job that has a very clear beginning and end
yeah.
and a very clear sense of accomplishment when you're done.
Yeah.
And I think, Nasima, to just make a point about what you were saying about the transience of the workplace, I think
yeah.
it's also kind of reflected in our culture. We're living in a culture that's kind of increasingly confrontational, less and less subtle every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so whereas people might have kind of grinned and bore it.
Borne it or bared it
in the past, now people are telling their boss to get lost. But now
yeah.
people are not making nice
mm-hmm.
and just getting along with, you know, Jennifer in HR. They're telling Jennifer just how they feel.
Yeah, and it's a challenge to the management structures to be able to listen, to learn how to listen to people and not take it personally. And sometimes that kind of reflection is a very important one about what's going on with their company. I'm a big fan of this show Undercover Boss, where bosses actually get a chance to go inside and see what's going on. I think it's pretty incredible. Like, what a great way to get a bottoms up view of your company and what's really happening. And there's a lot of revelation that happens in something like that.
And it shows you what a
switching
good employee
roles.
And it shows you the satisfaction people can get from working even mundane menial jobs.
Right.
Working in a burger stand or something. Like some people, you know, they're grateful to have the job.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, they show the kid who's like taking a long break or cutting corners and all that stuff. But by and large, you know, it shows most people are going to work and wanting to work, you know, and they're wanting to stay cheerful and happy at their work, and they're grateful to have a job.
And they exhibit all the sort of aspects of PERMA. You know, they have meaning in their job, they have engagement.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
212-757-5555. Come on, you folks. How many of you have had four or more jobs in your life and can tell us which was the best? Yesterday we got some interesting callers. This one guy he was talking about, he's a teacher. And every day he says to himself, you know, I'm happy to be here and I'm enjoying my day. And he has a way to anchor himself every hour as he's working.
Right.
You know, do you have a mantra to get you through your day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have some way that you can rejuvenate yourself on the job?
Or not. Or do you watch the clock?
Are
you a clock watcher and a day counter?
There's no slower time than watching the clock.
Absolutely.
Time slows way down when you're not engaged.
Yeah.
And you're watching those minutes go by.
And who wants to go through their day, even if they're getting away with it, really just not working? Just getting away with it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think most people just don't enjoy that.
Well, again, the great book, The Seven Traits of Successful People, The Seven Habits of Successful People, they talk about, you know, a lot of people, you know, go beyond win-lose situation, right? And a lot of people, you know, successful people, where a lot of people think, well, almost any transaction I do with Ben or Kevin or something, like one of us is going to win, one of us is going to lose or whatever, to win-win. You know, they really try to have every interaction sort of win-win. And many people, if they're honest, what they're doing at the workplace, if it's passive-aggressive, not to use psychobabble, but if it's kind of like an angry, I'm not going to work very hard because they don't respect me here and they don't like me, it's kind of, as you're talking, it's lose-lose. It's true, I guess you're sticking it to the boss, right? You're not working very hard to sort of show your boss that you can't tell me what to do and I don't really want this business to do so well because you're mean to me. But as you're saying, your own self-esteem and self-worth, I assume, is eroding and not feeling positive about your life, your career. 40 hours a week of your life is like you're in this kind of begrudgingly, you know, sort of don't want to get paid more to work any harder. So I'm just going to phone it in all day and try to, every time the boss leaves, you know, get on Facebook and
And you don't just turn that off when you get off work. You know, it's not like, you know, you have that attitude for 40 hours a week and then you go home and you become this bubbly, cheerful figure. You know, you still, that leaks over into your private life, into your relationships. If you're trying to get away with it and you're in the habit of looking for ways to get away with it at work, it doesn't just stop when you're at work. So there's a danger, a real danger, in getting into that habit of just like, how can I just get by?
Yep.
And as this show Undercover Boss shows, you really see people, you know, who have rich private lives.
Yeah.
And these jobs that they're doing are not so rich in terms of excitement or, you know, enlightenment or anything like that. But, you know, they're doing it with such good hearts and good approaches.
And they want to make it better.
Their private lives are really great. We have a caller. We have Ivy on the phone. Hello, Ivy.
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
All right, sir. And yourself?
I'm good. You've had four jobs. What are they?
Four jobs. Man, I'm 72 years old. I retired from work, period.
You've had eight jobs.
Eight jobs. I'm a black man. I'm the first one fired and the last one hired. Okay, that's been my thing throughout my whole life.
Really?
So it's sort of like chickens come home to roost. Melvin Van Peebles put out a play once. It was called Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death. And in that play, at the end, a bag woman walks across the stage, and she pulls out of her bag some mojo kind of stuff. And she says, I put a spell on you. I put a spell on you. May all your children wind up junkies, too. I put a spell on you. Now, all of a sudden, being a drug addict is now a mental thing.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, Harlem, every ghetto, oh, my God. We've been junkies for years and being locked up for it, but now these white kids are being junkies.
How about work, though? Ivy, tell us a little bit about your work experience. Have you had work experience?
Okay. I was the first black zookeeper reptile apartment at the Bronx Zoo.
Wow.
In 1969. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yes.
So how was that fulfilling? How was that a
fulfilling? Let me say, stop interrupting and let me speak. This is my time, bro.
All right, my man. All right. I got you. All right.
Okay. What happened was they wouldn't let me make the union. There was a guy there named Bob McLaughlin. Bob McLaughlin hated black people. He tried to kill me three times. He messed up my food chart cards because on the back of each animal, each reptile cage is a food chart card.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to fill in when you fed the snake. Is the snake opaque? Is it upstairs in the hospital room? All that kind of stuff. And he would take my food chart cards and throw them away and put blank food chart cards with what he thought was my signature. Well, I grew up to be a hippie. Okay, so I was
that's it.
Amen.
How long did you stay with the job?
It didn't last a year because what happened was they called me into the main office and they said, look, you're not filling out your food chart cards and we have your signature here. Yeah. Well, being a hippie, I signed my name on top of name on top of name, all three names on top of each other, so nobody could copy it. So I said, that's not my signature.
Yeah.
I brought out my Social Security card with my signature on it. I was 19 years old. And I showed them my signature. And they said, well, there's a guy been here 15 years, and he doesn't like black people, and we're not firing him for you. Okay, Metropolitan Opera. Oh, Metropolitan Opera. I worked 75 to 76 scenes. They got rid of me. Parks Department. It was nepotistic. They got rid of me. I'm talking about every job.
What about one job that you were able to stay at for more than a year?
Didn't let you go.
Working for white people? None.
How about working for black? How about working for black people? Were you able to keep a job?
Yeah, I worked for black people myself. I'm a carpenter by trade. So what I did and I also work for Outward Bound. Outward Bound is
great.
the only liberal organization, the only true beautiful organization that I've ever worked for. I've worked for Outward Bound 7.5 years, off and on.
That's fantastic.
Off and on, because I worked the whole circuit for Outward Bound.
Ivy, yes, sir. I'm writing down all of your careers. I want you to listen to the rest of the show. Thank you for being our first caller.
Hey, man, thank you.
God bless you.
Have a beautiful day to you all.
You too. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
So he went through a lot of jobs, but he found one that he could finally stay at. 212-757-5555. We're taking your calls about good jobs and bad jobs, your work experience. We're getting a lot of calls now. So 212-757-5555. What was the best job experience? What was your I guess my best job experience was when I was a teacher. When my classroom kids, when 31 out of 33 passed the state exam, I mean, it took a year to get there. I felt such a sense of reward and gratitude, such a sense of accomplishment that, I didn't experience in any other place. But I know what you mean, Ben, about doing a task and finishing a task. We have Trevor on the line. Trevor?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. I'm here.
How are you? So give me at least four careers. Go ahead.
Fashion, Old Navy when they first came to New York, advertising, Viacom, right?
Right.
Life Insurance, New York Life. That's around Grand Central.
Okay.
And then we got real estate. I dabbled in real estate since my college days.
It sounds like you even have more than that. Do you have more than that?
Yeah, but I always was an entrepreneur deep inside, even though back then I didn't have that to call it. I didn't have the title, in my head.
Yeah, sure,
you know?
Sure.
I always wanted to make my own money on the side, so in case anything went wrong, I had an exit strategy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So you... Go ahead. You sound like you have a lot of energy, that you've had this gift of energy all your life.
Well, it's coming from me being a DJ at the age of 14, right?
Wow.
So when you're in the Caribbean community in Brooklyn from 14 to, like, before I leave for college, I make a couple hundred dollars on the weekend. It's hard to, like, go to corporate America after that. Because I know I wouldn't starve with the DJing ability,
right.
you know?
And DJing was so enjoyable?
Yeah, because, I mean, back then, remember, it wasn't digital. It was all vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I had my mixtapes. So when I went to Binghamton University, I would put on my tapes, come back to Brooklyn, go to the Bronx. So I would stay relevant in New York City, even though I was all the way upstate New York, doing my mixtapes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was doing advertising back then, but I didn't know because I was brand building. The name of, I went by the thing called Robotech. That's like a, more Jamaican sound system kind of thing, like King Tubby's.
Dance, Yeah, the old dance hall.
Exactly.
Sound.
Yeah. But no, I did my hip hop sets, and I would bring in more famous hip hop DJs when I did parties.
You still spin records?
Yeah, but more for nostalgia reasons. You know what I mean? I try to manage younger guys now so they don't make the mistakes I did. You know what I mean?
That's a way to stay involved in that industry.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you go from something like that to insurance?
Here's what it is. Real life hits. You know what I mean? My dad passed away back in, 95 when I came back from college. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And, I'm a mama's boy, so you got to take care of mama.
Okay.
So, the music business, I do great 1 month, and another month you'll be very slim. You know what I mean?
Right. So you can't count on that. And when you have a mama to take care of and protect, you have to get consistent income.
Yes. And then back then, it wasn't so popular just to start a startup company. It wasn't popular back then.
Oh, right.
I got so much, clout, like really my family was telling me, you went to a good school. Why are you trying to starve your way into this business? You know what I mean?
Right.
And back then, you got the flack because, my family from the Caribbean, so they're very conservative. You know what I mean? So I fought with that. But now what I've learned through that whole transition, my last job was in 2008. I've never worked for anybody else since then. You know what I mean?
I
use the internet. I started a sneaker website, and then that went into marketing because people watched the way I was on Twitter from 2009 all day,
So you're just flipping discs all day long still. You're going from discs to sneakers to other companies and stuff.
And now I parlayed my party experience to event planning now.
Wow.
You follow?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but it's fair. When I look back 20 years ago, I'm like, why wasn't I doing this 20 years ago? It was not my fear, but the fear from the people around me.
Say more about that. Say a little bit more. What do you mean, fear?
Fear, brother. Like, I've always been kind of against the grain kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know there's a loophole. This is America. There's a loophole for everything. You follow?
Sure, I'm here.
So if there's a car that costs out of my range, I'm going to go online to Florida and find one that slightly damaged and fix it up and have the same car.
Okay.
You follow?
I follow you.
So that's just the way my brain works. So I've been hacking my life since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You're right on. Right.
Like, if my mother couldn't afford the brand new sneakers, I'll find a way to go like 20 stores and talk them down to my price. You know what I mean?
Trevor, we're going to move on to the next call, but thanks. You've hit so much, and we're going to take you off the air. Kent, he's talking a lot about fun and creativity, engagement, these kinds of things at work. He's entrepreneurial. He's inventive,
Yeah.
I mean, how important are these for people let's say jobs that you can't be so entrepreneurial?
Well, again, he sounds like you can feel it, like whether it's music or sneakers, again, that he may have a kind of passion for those things, and he's turning that into his career, right? I mean, real love for it and real ability to sort of get involved, listen to music, research sneakers or whatever. That's my sense of just my spidey sense, listening to him, that he has the engagement part of PERMA where he's very interested in the product and very engaged in the product that he's trying to sell and everything right. like that. And then a certain enthusiasm that sounds, you know, very, very nice to have, right?
Really.
Ambition, enthusiasm to make it work.
Yeah, you feel his whole energy is involved in his work, and he created a lot of it himself. 212-757-5555. But this engagement factor, engagement is kind of like an immersion, that you can feel immersed in your work, that you can feel totally absorbed in your work. And he sounds like a DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most DJs are really in their zone and when they're doing their job. So that's a big plus when you can find a career where you can do something where you're in your own zone. 212-757-5555. We have Steve on the line.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good, Steve. What were your jobs?
I was a transporter for Hertz, sanitation worker. I was a correction officer, and the Portland are losing me at the moment.
Wow. So you know,
I refuel aircraft at LaGuardia.
Oh, okay. So you've been out there on the street. You've been really exposed to the world. What has been which has been the most satisfying?
Believe it or not, transporting cars for Hertz.
Tell me about it. How so?
Oh man, I love speeding. I love speeding. I love the
drive. Uh oh! Don't let Hertz know.
What does that mean? How's your driving record?
Oh, my driving record is excellent.
Okay.
So I'm in the Million Mile Club.
All right, million miles. So you like to break the law. Is that it?
No, that's not it.
He just likes to go fast.
Well, you can get you get paid by the trip, not the hour.
Yeah. Oh,
the more money you made.
I see. Oh, so this was the kind of job where if you did it faster, you got more money. The other three jobs, you didn't. It was a fixed income. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So, anything else you liked about transporting cars? I mean, you're on your own all day.
Yeah,
right?
no boss breathing down your neck or anything. That's got to be a plus of being a bus.
Well, what they did was you had a van, a 13-man van, 7-man van, and you had a lead man driving you to the different locations. You jump out the van, get in the car, and drive them all back to the location.
Wow.
I got you.
So you did have a boss there.
Okay, so you had a team of guys also that you were interacting with all day.
Right.
Is that right?
And we try to beat each other back to the location.
I got you.
You could do
what about the bad job? What was the worst part of the other jobs?
Correction was the worst job.
Yeah. Go on. Please tell New York tell New York about what it's like to be a correctional officer.
Basically, you're living with the inmates, and you live with somebody long enough, you start to turn into them. So I had to leave that alone.
Yeah.
Well, there's a famous experiment.
A lot of tension on that job.
There's a famous experiment called the Stanford Experiment, where they actually took college students and arbitrarily turned them into prisoners or wardens or jail keepers, just arbitrarily. And what they found is over the days, the people in authority, the people in charge, started developing a very aggressive kind of style and a very authoritarian, strict kind of style that talks a little bit about bosses in general, about power and how complicated power can be for people, to have power over people. And we know with Abu Ghraib prison that some very dark things can emerge in some people's psychology when they have power over people. So I could see that as a job that's not one that you can keep your morals and ethics on straight with, that kind of power over people.
Was that part of your how long did you last at that job?
About 3 years.
Yeah. You know, we often talk on the show about contagious, that the environment you're around can be contagious. You know, if you're around a positive people, if one positive person is in the room, they can really change the ambiance of the whole room.
And
similarly, if you're in a room with somebody who's really down, depressed, it can totally change the atmosphere of that room. So I could imagine being a corrections officer, you really had to take charge of your attitude constantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did your coworkers also have that that issue?
Yeah, a lot of the co-workers just took their troubles home with them.
Sure.
Yeah. Or brought their troubles from home to the job.
Right.
Well, this caller and the last one, again, whether it's, you know, playing music, being a DJ, or driving, I would assume lots of people out there, it's like, that's what I love to do. I love to listen to music and the like. And for many, many people, again, they love to drive. And again, to be realistic, as we'd always talk about in this show about work, there's only, you know, a handful of people that could be professional race car drivers. I assume that's a lot of people's fantasies. But a lot of people can turn their passion and love of driving into doing a job that they enjoy. That's part of what they enjoy do. They get engaged and they enjoy driving as part of the thing that they feel they're good at, and it gives them a source of pleasure. They get paid to drive.
Are you still doing that, Steve?
No, I'm in sanitation now.
You're in sanitation. What do you like about that?
When you're picking up stops, you know, and completing the jobs on time, that's basically the feel good part of it.
Yeah.
Other than driving around for me.
A sense of completion, like Ben was talking yesterday about shoveling snow. When he's finished the walk, he knows, like, he's got a sense of satisfaction.
Well, exactly.
And I think people out there who get stuck in these jobs where they feel like they don't have meaning, sanitation jumps out. Where if someone doesn't say every day, thank you for doing sanitation, because I don't know what my life would be like without sanitation.
I get that once in a while. People that I don't walk up to and say, you're doing a great job, thank you. I'm like, where is this coming from?
Well, it's genuine. It should
it's
be
gratitude.
For a lot of work.
It's real grad. We remember the 70s gratitude. Here in New York, so... 2127. Thanks a lot, Steve. We're going to go to a musical
break. No problem.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Give us your calls at 212-757-5555. Blues, come on, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get gone, get a rhythm. When you get the blues. A little shoeshine boy, he never gets low down, but he's got the dirtiest job in town. Bending low at the people's feet on a windy corner of a dirty street. Well, I asked him while he shined my shoes how to keep from getting the blues. He grinned as he raised his little head. He popped his shoeshine rag and then he said, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, a jumpy rhythm makes you feel so fine. It'll shake all your trouble from your worried mind. Get a rhythm when you get the blues. Get a rhythm when you get the blues. Come on, get a rhythm when you get the blues. Get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes. Get gone, get a rhythm when you get the blues. Well, I sat and I listened to the shoeshine boy, and I thought I was gonna jump with joy. Slapped on the shoe polish left and right. He took his shoeshine rag and he held it tight. He stopped once to wipe the sweat away. I said, you mighty little boy to be a-working that way. He said, I like it, with a big wide grin. Kept on a-popping and he said again, get rhythm when you get the blues. Come on, get rhythm when you get the blues. It only cost a dime, just a nickel a shoe. It does $1 million worth of good for you. Get rhythm when you get the blues. Hey, that was for Peter, Johnny Cash. What's the name of that, Ben?
Get Rhythm, Johnny Cash. You are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM on your dial. We're taking your calls today. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. Talking about work, careers, transition, the experience, what it means to you, your best and worst jobs. We want to hear from you at 212-757-5555.
We have a lot of people on the line. A lot of people want to talk about this. Go ahead.
Right now we've got Vicky. Hi, Vicky.
Hello, Vicky.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What kind of jobs have you had?
Oh, my God. I've had a wonderful career in retail. I've worked as a manager, buyer, assist for buyer, store manager, floor manager, vice president, customer service.
Okay.
Then I switched. Then I switched to being a college professor. I taught business management, and then I went back into retail and became a fashion consultant and personal shopper. And then I left that, went back to college, and became a naturopathic doctor and clinical nutritionist. That's what I'm doing now.
Oh my gosh, Vicky!
You've been moving your life.
Yes, and I still plan to move some more. There are other careers I want to do. But the best job I love of all the other jobs, I love retail, but I love what I'm doing now as a doctor, but I also love being a fashion consultant and personal shopper, because I work for Saks and I had the privilege of shopping for the rich and famous of New York and the world. Mm. And it was a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, and I made a hell of a lot of money for myself and for the store. Yeah. And that is one job that I really, really, really enjoy. I like what I'm doing now, but I'm helping people and it's life saving. However, the fashion thing and the buying and the freedom to roam the store and spend other people's thousands and thousands of dollars was fun.
What a dream.
And also all those shiny clothes, you know, all those vivid.
No, but I would have, you know, the presidents and vice president of the large corporation, and most of them are here in town, they'll say, well, it's Christmas and I want to spend $16,000 just to buy perfume for my, you know, VP wife or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have clients buying $10,000 dresses and, you know, and I'm spending these money. And I said, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of money here. But it was a lot of fun. It was just fun.
So
you know, there are jobs that you have that you really, really enjoy, and I really, really, that's the best job in the world I had.
It sounds like it. Did you ever, you sound like you've enjoyed all of your work, though.
What
was the worst day on your job?
Oh, my God. Well, the job I'm doing now as a doctor, I work with very critically ill patients, and I specialize in cancer. And so there's some, when you get patients that are really terminally ill or very critically ill, you have to work twice as hard. So I wouldn't say it's a worse day, but I would say it's very difficult and it's very draining.
Yeah, yeah. Vicky, we thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling us.
You're very welcome.
You want to say again? You're a doctor.
Again, I mean that's hard, and everyone knows. Like again, we have no control sometimes over our patients, right? So we shouldn't take it personally. But it is amazing that we've had three callers of people that again, things that people find joy in: listening to music, driving, and shopping. These last three people have been able to find engagement in their work by following passions that many of you have, right? All three of those things are things that lots of you do for fun and what you enjoy. And that's what we're talking about. You know, can you, whether at your outside life or in your work life, get engaged, which is really the opposite of phoning it in, right? Phoning it in is just you're barely listening, barely
watching
involved.
The clock.
Yeah, you're not engaged. You're not in the flow. You're not really swept up with what you're doing.
I wonder also, they seem to have movement involved. I mean, a DJ stands there and flips the discs and he moves his body as he's listening. And this guy was driving the cars. I mean, there's a lot of movement. And she's roaming the store, you know, going from floor to floor. So I'm wondering if that's a variable. I know it's not part of PERMA, but engagement, if you don't have it, if you get your body moving, there's a good chance you'll feel more engaged in the first place.
Yeah, and I would assume that, you know, being able to mix up your environment every once in a while is good because to stop boredom, right, which is one of the deadly things about jobs that I hear about as a therapist all the time. They're bored in their job. So having a job where you can move around seems like it gives you some control as opposed to stuck in a cubicle where you're not able to sort of change your environment to sort of have your brain get some dopamine by something new and novel.
Yeah, right. 212-757-5555. We have Ted on the line. Ted?
Hi, I'm here.
Yes, what were your jobs?
I'm retired now, 75 years old, and I've worked in technical jobs all my life. Computers, medical field, aerospace, all of that.
Okay. And which was the best? When was work really enjoyable?
Well, I have a lot to say about that. I'm glad I caught your radio show.
Yeah.
For me, most of my work throughout my career has been enjoyable because they paid me basically to do my hobby.
Ah.
And
there you go.
One of the things that I found having had the whole career now and retired was enjoying what you do, which is very important. But even before that, there are two key things, and then I'll tell you specifically about jobs I had. One thing is that you have to have some level of spirituality in your life.
Yeah.
I won't go all into that because each person can define it for themselves.
Right.
But I find that those people that don't have it have a harder time in life.
How do you get it?
Well, many different ways to get it. I don't want to get heavily into that because
okay.
I think your show is about jobs and how to work and so on.
Yeah, I understand.
The other thing, I had turned my radio off like I was instructed, but then when I turned it back on, you were using the word passion. And that's a big key, I think, for having a successful working career. You need to start out, even before you work, with a passion for something. I believe everyone is good at something, whatever it might be. And chances are, if they're good at it, they probably like doing it. Now, we don't all get an opportunity to work and get paid for those things that we love to do. But at least having a hobby, as simple as that sounds, gives you something that you can be passionate about.
Yeah.
It gives you something you can do when you're down and out, not even working at all between jobs.
Mm.
You can look forward to working with your hobby. When you have extra money, whether you're alone or with a family or engaging people and so on, when you have a hobby, you can share it with them or you can expound on it. But as far as jobs, I know our time will be limited, but the worst job I had was one where they got a new, set the environment. I was the 20th employee at a high-tech company out in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
To get the job, I had to know electronics, optics, and computers, and I qualified, and so I was there.
Okay.
And by the way that I qualified for the jobs I'm about to tell you about, basically it was from my hobby, and somebody said, well, why don't you try to get a job in those fields? Anyway, I was the 20th employee at this company, and after about 500 employees were there, I had trained 90% of them myself. I had done the training.
Mm.
Now, I was not educated in teaching and training. They asked me to do the training in the beginning with the company just because of the way I kept my notes so very detailed
mm-hmm.
and graphics and so on. And they said, well, why don't you, you know, teach the first few classes?
Right.
And I had the experts come in, the actual inventors, for some of the first few classes. I tape recorded them. And I used to play the tapes for the classes because I didn't know all that stuff. But after playing the tape so many times, I had memorized it. It was like going out on the stage.
Wow.
I know what it's like now to repeat a performance.
You should give a TED Talk.
Yeah, really, really. anyway, after the company had grown for several years, more than 2 years, almost 5 years, but definitely more than two, I had risen all the way up to training manager, and I had people working for me. And what happened was this. They got a new CEO at the company, who had not been there at the beginning and whatnot, and he had his own idea of how the company should look and how
right.
the company should be.
Yeah.
Now, for instance...
So he didn't consult with you?
No.
That's the problem.
No. For instance, the executive officer before him had a secretary, an older woman, who had a strong southern accent. She was from Texas or something. But
Ted,
she knew her job very well.
I'm just going to jump in because we could talk to you all day. We got about six callers waiting. But can you wrap this up for us?
Yes, I can. The reason it was the worst job, they wanted me out. They wanted me out because... I don't think it was racism because there were many other unhappy employees there.
Okay.
But they wanted me out.
Big mistake.
And they couldn't find a reason to get me out. And they promoted me to manager. And within 30 days, I was all written up and complaining from other managers and so on.
Gotcha.
And the CEO even hired a guy and brought him in and told him, you know,
yeah.
to aggravate me and so on and so on.
Right.
It got so bad, I went to a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and are you working now? Are you working or are you done?
No, I'm retired now. Retired now.
All right, Ted, we want you to keep calling us. You've given us a lot here to talk about off the air, so please...
Okay, can I mention a book that I've written about this?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, the book that I've written about all of this, my career, is titled The Monkey Bars of Life, and it's available at bookstores and Amazon, and my website is themonkeybarsoflife.com.
Wow.
Thanks so much,
Ted.
We'll look out for it, The Monkey Bars of Life. All right. It used to be called the Rat Race, but now it's called the Monkey Bars of Life. 212-757-5555.
Well, again, some of our callers talking about the bad parts of the job, whether it was the fellow with the zoo experience where he felt there was racism going on, and this last job where a new boss comes in, a new CEO comes in, and it happens a lot that people have their own people who they're loyal to them or they know, and a lot of people know when that happens in an organization, there's going to be a turnover, even though you've been very hardworking and very loyal, but it's really about relationships, which PERMA, we say, is this good thing about relationships and meaningful, but obviously, you know, hell can be other people, as the famous, existentialist said. So that, you know, a bad boss or a bad work environment or a toxic work environment with other human beings, politics, as it were, can play into a job becoming very sour, and there's not much you can do except, again, the positive mind. Remember that being sad is not necessarily the opposite of being happy, right? The opposite of being happy is being apathetic, just phoning it in, passive-aggressive. Yeah. That's the opposite of happy. Sad can sometimes show you, I'm in a work environment that's toxic for me. I need to leave. I need to move on. Right. You know, because sadness is an emotion that sometimes says something hurts, relationships or otherwise.
Yeah, so you're here listening to The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5, New York City. And we're talking today about work. We have a caller today. We have another caller, Tina.
Hi.
Hey, Tina.
You guys, I was driving home. I pulled over just because it was serendipity. I went on a job interview today.
Oh, and how'd it go?
It went okay. I think it went okay. But I am a teacher, and I've been a teacher for a little almost 13 years, and you hit it on the head when you talked about the toxic environment.
Yeah.
Because I tend to be the person at the job that people look to bring that light. The gentleman talked about spirituality. There has to be a spiritual component. Mm-hmm. It helps you out. He's absolutely right. I have a relationship with God. I'm Christian. But it's personal. But I want to say, sometimes all the time in my walk, my short journey of 43 years, is my hardest times or most difficult people I've had to deal with, or I wish that I could run away from.
Yeah.
They bring my best lessons. They are the agents that I feel
God. I love
God
that.
They're the agents that God used to change my
habits. Wow. And how do you make that? You turn a negative into a positive. Tell us how you do that, Tina.
It's many hard lessons. Sometimes I feel like I get beat up, and it's spiritually.
Sure.
Because I can come to work with my mind really like, you know what, no matter what comes, you got to let it roll off. But there are times that it catches you off guard, the type of unexpected things that happen. Like, I'll give you an example. This year, for example, teaching, I would do it whether I would be around kids, whether I'm getting paid or not.
So you're gonna stay with this job?
No, I'm gonna stay teaching.
Right.
I don't know if I want to be in that environment. However, I did ask God, if you keep me there, then I have to be able to be adapt. I have to adapt. But there are times that it is very toxic that I say, you know what, they don't influence me. If anything, I influence them. But sometimes you always want to be comfortable. So I'm always checking in. But I want to say that I had a difficult year this year from the types of toxicity that is there and what gets promoted and what is not promoted. But it was my best lesson.
Yeah,
it was one of my best. It was very painful, but it let me know that, like, I asked God, why is this happening? If you know what I bring, I try not to. And he told me because, well, I just heard a voice that, you know, that still small voice. because you think you have to advocate for yourself. Just hold tight.
Yeah.
Just have that quietness that sometimes there's a lot of fight in quiet.
I don't always
have to advocate for myself. The younger teachers look to me to advocate for them. And sometimes that's not what it's about. I can still be influential, but I had to learn, and it's not always through the sort of exchange that I think that is going to happen. So I want to say that I respect certain leadership. I do think that you know, you have to put kids first. But even in that situation where we don't like it, there's such powerful lessons in it.
Tina, we're gonna leave it there. You said a lot, and we do appreciate it. Keep calling us.
Yes.
So she has an anchor. You know, she has the spirituality, the same thing as Ted, that, you know, they find strength in and renewal. And she sounds like a resilient spirit. And teachers, you know, teachers have a particularly demanding job. I mean, you're monitoring 25, 30 people for an hour, and then another 25, 30 come in. And they're very, very different than the other 25, 30. So, you know, by the end of the day, you might not even know your name.
Right. And it sounds like what we said yesterday, true with her as well, because I find with most teachers, it's not the students. Just like most people, it's not their customers. It's not their whatever. It's their family. Right. She was talking a lot about the staff, the other teachers, maybe the principal.
Yeah, right.
Again, the relationships, right? And clearly one of the things about a work situation is that a lot of people have a good attitude about customers and students, and they can be bad and difficult customers and whatever, but I don't expect my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, i.e. my coworkers and my parents, to be mistreating me or to be toxic.
Yeah, right.
And that's when she's talking about toxic. I assume it's coworkers and bosses. And it is truly an art and spiritually minded to not take the bait with people who are provocative at work, right? Not to take the bait with them and not to get engaged with people who are toxic or backstabbing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a real art form. Because, again, you're not choosing your coworkers often, right?
Yeah.
The universe, to be spiritual, is dealing you that hand. And then you got to play with that hand that you're dealt.
Yeah.
You can choose your friends. You can choose your spouse. But your coworkers is up to fate.
Yeah, the boss chooses them.
Right.
And we have another caller.
We have Peter from yesterday.
Peter back from yesterday.
Yes, and of course I'm back. And this show is the greatest example of an excellent work environment.
Oh.
Because, like, I came in yesterday. My first time calling was yesterday. And I suggested that song, Get Rhythm If You Get the Blues, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, if this was a bad work environment, you would have said, okay, you start out washing dishes. But you made me a chef.
A DJ.
We do that with all of our employees.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you said, okay, that's a good input, you know, and you, the next day you put my suggestion
there
on
go.
Here,
hey.
And you said my name as if I was a chef.
Yes, well,
instead of starting me out like washing the toilet.
We're four stars here, four-star restaurant, so.
I mean, right, I mean, so that would be a vital, as far as positive mind, it was like, you said, okay, we've never heard him before, but
no,
you valued my input, and you put it up like you served it the next day as like an entree. Excellent.
So, Peter, tell us about your work. Thank you. You know, we did love your suggestion. I think, you know, it was right on the money, the phone call.
And, excellent song.
Excellent song. We got a real treat going out today of a song. But, you know, you sound like a cheerful guy. You should be in, like, a service business. Were you ever in the service industry?
Well, I wouldn't say I write music.
You write music, so yeah.
So I make that point. Like, if you're a composer, you're basically building cathedrals out of thin air. The cathedrals are someone else's imagination. So it's not like engineering where you say, okay, what fits with this? Is this tall enough? My resource is like, wait, what are you thinking? I mean, if you think about the great composers of the past, what they were doing was, like I said, building cathedrals out of midair, out of thin air.
Who's your favorite composer?
Well, like, the safe thing is like saying, you know, Bach, but Dvorak too. They just touch on things. It's like, wow, I know what he means.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're what they're doing is like, or I, because I think about these people writing music like 200 years, 300 years ago, and toiling at night over, you know, by candlelight, saying, you know, it sounds good to me, but who the hell's going to enjoy this 300 years from now? And I'm like, me, me, thank you so much.
Well, we have another musician in the house. Kent plays top-notch piano, so he can tell you about making cathedrals.
No Dvorak, but again, a lot of you today, not to push buttons, I try to be positive, but the World Cup, Ben's team, France, won yesterday.
Yes, right.
And again, we're all admiring not only the genius of a Dvorak or the soccer players, the perspiration, the flow, the amount of hard work and dedication that goes into these careers. Do you have that in your career? Do you have that dedication and flow and perspiration in your own life?
Peter, we thank you for the call.
Okay.
Listen to our outro. You've been listening to The Positive Mind, talking about work, and we only scraped the surface. You know, work, we want to hear from people. This is one-third of your adult life.
Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org, with your thoughts, comments, if you want to weigh in. A lot of times it's hard for people to call in. They get a little nervous, and it's a little bit easier to be vulnerable, you know, in a more private email setting. So you can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. And you can reach us here at the Positive Mind Center, 212-757-4488, outside of radio hours.
And, Ben, this is our last day from the 1 to 2 o'clock hour. Next week we'll be back on Wednesday for 2 hours. We still had a backup bunch of calls here today, so we expect that next week also. We'll be always taking your calls.
And I just realized this, Kevin. Yesterday was our last Tuesday for quite some time.
Yes, it is.
Because we're moving to Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., so we're no longer going to be on Tuesdays, and we're going to move from our 1 o'clock time that we're doing right now. We're moving to 3 p.m. on Wednesdays. That's going to be our new time, our new home here on WBAM.
We're excited. We get to have you with us for 2 hours. Looking forward to it. Have a good day, folks.
Work calls.